is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, I want to revisit this powerful principle, this powerful dynamic in the Bible. And this powerful dynamic in the Bible, which we've looked at it before, this dynamic can be released for those that are evil in their intent, those that are wicked in their intent. And this same exact dynamic can work on behalf of those people that are good or godly in their intent. In other words, the principle is a principle that God establishes about how men and women, or how mankind, when it comes together as one, when it functions as one, when it comes into a state of unity, what it can produce, men and women in a state of unity, what they can produce is far, far, far beyond what they could potentially produce alone in their singleness, and I'm not talking about married state, in a single sense. The principle that God is revealing to us works for his people, but it works for evil. And it's key that we grasp this principle because we can use it to accomplish good things that are way beyond the ability of any of us in a singular manner. And if we're using this principle for good objectives, we can accomplish things way beyond what we could accomplish on our own talent, ability, and strength. So let's revisit this principle because it's a powerful principle. The understanding and the application of this principle can change your life. So in the book of Genesis, we read again, Genesis 11, the account of ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel, the world's first one world government, one world religion, one world economic system, and new world order. Appeared in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel. Very important. But they were Luciferian in their belief system. They were under the rule of Nimrod, who was a type of the Antichrist. They were occultic in nature. They used the mystery Babylon religions, the same mystery Babylon religions that will return in the book of Revelation during the tribulation period when it says, mystery Babylon returns, the mother of harlots, mystery Babylon has fallen. So during the tribulation period, this satanic or Luciferian world system, also known as mystery Babylon, comes back into power as the Antichrist and the false prophet assemble a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world economic system. This triad of power previously existed in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of the ancient Tower of Babel. So this is how they accomplished it. And let's read about this. In Genesis 11, we see this principle. In Genesis 11, we read about ancient Babylon, the Tower of Babel. So it says in Genesis 11, verse 1, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. So it's speaking of a unity here. We got to have to grasp this. Verse 4, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So we knew their hearts were filled with pride because they wanted to go into the heavens and be like God. That's Luciferian. We know that they were motivated by pride because they wanted to, quote, make a name for themselves. So in verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, quote, indeed, the people are one, They all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. So God observed, because they were one, because they spoke one language, because they were unified in their governmental structure, they were unified in their purpose, God observed that because they were one, because they were unified, there is nothing that they may plan to do, nothing that they could propose to do, nothing that would be withheld from them. So in other words, any goal in their unity, in their oneness, any goal, no matter how wicked, could be accomplished as long as they move together in unity to accomplish it. This was the principle that God was revealing. And once again, this principle works for good or for evil. So God judged them, okay? And verse 7, come, let us, God speaking of the triune nature of God, let us go down there and confuse their language, and they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord God scattered them abroad from there over the face over all the earth, and they ceased building the city, though its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. So instead of having a global government, God separated them into independent sovereign nations, each with their own language, as a check and balance system. So God is also warning us about the power of unity, even if it's undertaken by evil people. So when we move forward into the latter part of the Old Testament, where we read the prophecies of the prophet Joel in Joel chapter 2 about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the last days, how in the last days God will pour out his Holy Spirit on all flesh. We're in that time, by the way. We're in the last days. We've been in the last days since the Lord began to pour out the Holy Spirit on his church on the day of Pentecost. That officially began the last days, and we're in the last days now, and the Lord is pouring out his Holy Spirit on all flesh. So, in the book of Acts, where the church is born, Acts chapter 2, God once again reminds us of this powerful spiritual dynamic and law. But this time, it's God's people who are unifying. It's God's people who are functioning as one. And when God's people come together as one in the name of Jesus Christ, where two or more of you gather on earth as agreeing on anything, as touching on anything, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. So when we agree in prayer, as a oneness, God answers our prayers. So in Acts chapter 2, the first thing we read is in Acts chapter 1, it teaches us something. Okay, in Acts 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Spirit, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So Jesus Christ is telling them, as they're assembled together as one, as they're seeking the Lord as one, as they're coming together as one, that they're going to receive power from the Holy Spirit, and the power from the Holy Spirit is going to come upon them as they're seeking the Lord on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. So, and then, and only then, you see, they could not fulfill the missions that God had for them until they were first supernaturally energized by God by receiving the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, power from on high. It's impossible for you, me, or anybody to fulfill any kind of ministry that Christ has for us apart from the supernatural power from God. So they couldn't go into all the world and preach the gospel, or Jerusalem, or Judea, or Samaria, or to the ends of the earth, until first the Spirit of God comes upon them, which happened when they came together as one in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. So we read this. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Unity, oneness, not man-made unity. Unity produced by the Spirit of God, big difference. And they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the crowd thinks they're drunk, and Peter stands up and gives a sermon based on Joel. And Peter says in verse 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days," that's our time too, says God, "that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions." This is all supernatural. And it's not crazy, because this kind of supernatural is birthed out of faithfulness to the Word of God. "Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So, as there's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the earth during the last days, which is happening even now as we speak, "and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy," and God says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants," notice that's men and women for those who cannot clearly see. It's men and women. "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So all these supernatural signs in the heavens, wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke, the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, blood moons. All this is going to happen with increasing frequency before the return of the Lord and before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what produces true evangelism is not a set made, is not a manual, a man-made manual. It's not an instruction manual. It's not a sales manual. What produces true evangelism is when the Holy Spirit of God is poured out biblically on the lives of the believer. And as the Holy Spirit of God is poured out on the lives of believers, they are energized by the Spirit of God And as they're anointed by the Spirit of God, evangelism is a natural byproduct. When people are surrounded with people who just don't call themselves Christians, but when people are surrounded by people who have experienced the Holy Spirit being poured out upon them, when people are being exposed to young men seeing visions, biblical visions, and your daughters shall prophesy, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men dream dreams, and on my men servants and maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. When all this is happening, believe me, a last day's soul harvest begins to be harvested because the power of God is behind it. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this is evangelism, last days evangelism. This is how we win souls for Jesus Christ in the last days. It's a byproduct of our receiving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and coming together in true biblical unity to preach the gospel. Now, the other thing that is extremely dynamic is that we have read about the principle of unity and oneness and how it produces exponential results among anybody, whether they're planning evil or good. So now we're reading an account about not evil people coming together, but how when God's people come together as one to seek the Lord, this releases the last day's outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where God promises to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, which causes radical transformation. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We have all kinds of social media platforms for the Paul McGuire Radio Report program. Hundreds of hours in the archives for you to listen to free at paulmcguire.us. We have the prophetic emergency alert from me on video available for you to you at paulmcguire.us. We have all the sermons, Bible prophecy teachings, Bible teachings, messages I've given at Paradise Mountain Church recorded for you on our Roku channel. Hundreds of hours of teaching recorded for you on the Roku channel. And the name of our Roku channel is Paul McGuire Ministries. And you can find that via paulmcguire.us. You can also go to the Vimeo channel and the two Facebook pages, which you should join or follow, and the YouTube channel, which you should join and follow, and the Twitter account and the Instagram, and connect to all of them. It's important that you connect to all of them. That way, when any individual or ministry moves its location on the internet, you'll be able to keep track of them. And so it's important that you do that. This time period we're in is one which I've referred to quite often with the name of my newest book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. You and I, right now, are in the greatest battle for the hearts and souls of mankind in the history of the world. And so, as never before, we need to come together in unity in the power of the Holy Spirit. Where two or more are you are gathered, there I am in the midst of you. And let the Lord move with his power. And make sure you spread far and wide our messages and social media and stuff. Because people all over the world read it, and people get saved, and people return to Christ, and we get so many letters and notes that are so encouraging that people hear these programs. And because these programs are different, and they're supposed to be different, people are looking, they're hungering for something new and different. And so they land on these Paul McGuire Report programs. They become regular listeners, and they get discipled, and they return to the Lord, and they recommit their lives to Jesus, and they become born again, and God moves on their life by being exposed to this ministry. That's why it's so important that we continue to reach out and expand this ministry by expanding our studios, by expanding our technology, expanding our production values, rebooting the Paradise Mountain Church services in a safe and legal way. That's a challenge. Just packing people in a room and transmitting disease is not, you know, it's not a smart thing to do. And we're going to do it right when we do it, not because we're afraid of somebody, because we're responsible citizens. And we don't want to be responsible for somebody with a compromised immune system catching the coronavirus when we can do things to ensure that that does not happen. So visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And this is it. I mean, this coronavirus is being used. Let's just suspend for a moment. Now, in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, which came out 2 months before the coronavirus, I talk in great deal about biological warfare, autoimmune diseases, things of that nature, and 5G technology, and how 5G interacts with diseases and the neurological system, et cetera, et cetera. All of that is packed in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, which came out 2 months before the coronavirus erupted. And so I've been studying, because I've been writing in Bible prophecy, a total of 34 books. I've been studying plagues, biological warfare, droughts, things of that nature for decades and decades. I can prove that by just naming the titles of my books and reading to you the copyright dates on them. So I've been studying this a long time. It's an unpleasant subject, but I felt compelled to because of what was happening in our world. And there are people that are trying to use this disease to reconfigure or re-sculpt or radically transform our world, our nation, and reality itself. And I want to expose that to you, okay? So we'll be back. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Spread this far and wide. Paul McGuire, send out this link and visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in just a moment. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. So when mankind comes into unity for a common purpose, when mankind functions together as one, God teaches us that nothing becomes impossible for men and women when they choose to operate in unity and oneness, whether it's good that they're undertaking or it's evil that they're undertaking. Now, in ancient Babylon, which is recorded in Genesis chapter 11, and I've spent my life researching this topic, written many books on this, volumes that show you how the ancient Babylonian system is what, or Mystery Babylon, is what is really running the world system today with the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, et cetera, et cetera. Same system. In fact, just a quick visual proof that should remind us that this ancient Babylonian system of ancient Babylon, the mystery religion, is running the world today in terms, it's that satanic power which is ruling the world today. Visual evidence of that quickly would be the following. When you go to Washington, D.C., you see the Washington Monument, and then you see the nation's capital. Okay, all people who understand the history of architecture and archaeology understand the importance of the pyramidical shape or the pyramid-shaped structure, also known as a ziggurat. So the Washington Monument is a gigantic pyramid-shaped, phallic-shaped monument. Its usage goes all the way back to ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel, when Nimrod supposedly married a prostitute or the madam of a whorehouse, who was a very attractive woman. And they got into strife, and Nimrod's wife, Semiramis, murdered Nimrod. Now, Nimrod had already lied and told the people not that she was a prostitute, but that she was a goddess. So the people of Babylon believed that Semiramis was a goddess. But then she killed Nimrod by dismembering him. And I don't need to explain to you what that means. She dismembered her husband. That's how she killed him. But she covered all that up before the people of ancient Babylon. And she said that Nimrod was not murdered, but that Nimrod had now risen into the sky and Nimrod had become the sun god. Okay? So what Semiramis claimed, according to numerous historical accounts, what Semiramis claimed was that she used a phallic object on herself. Okay, this is kind of explicit. So Semiramis used a phallic object on herself and claimed that when she used the phallic object on herself, that Nimrod had, in an occult manner, supernaturally impregnated her when she used this phallic object on herself. So that allowed for a supernatural creation of Nimrod to arise and become the sun god. So in every society, in every empire, which is built upon the ancient Babylonian principles, which are many of them, such as the Egyptian god-king system with their pyramids, which are ziggurats, and so many others throughout human history, you will see constantly in the very center of world empires, you will see the this kind of imagery in Paris, this occult imagery. You'll see it in the Vatican. Okay, you'll see the giant phallic shaped monument, and then you'll see the dome shaped monument. The Vatican, from many angles, looks exactly like Washington D.C. So in Washington D.C. they had a Freemasonry, an architect who was a Freemason. He designed the structures, the buildings, the phallic shapes, and then, of course, the Washington Monument was the womb of Semiramis. Excuse me, the Washington Monument, the Capitol was the womb-shaped building. And the Washington Monument was the phallic, pyramidical-shaped building. So you see right in the very centers of global power, the United States of America, you see statues with occult symbolism all over the place. On the dollar bill, there's a giant pyramid. And the words under the pyramid in Latin are translated New World Order. and you see the all-seeing eye of Lucifer at the top of the pyramid in the back of the U.S. dollar bill, and on the Washington Monument, when that kind of like, it's not just to keep away jets from crashing into it, it's also a like an all-seeing eye piercing out of the top of the Washington Monument. Okay, all of that is symbolism from the ancient mystery Babylon occult religions that have been secretly passed on through secret societies from empire to empire. This mystery Babylon religion has been passed on from secret societies from empire to empire. And even Daniel understands this. So, what I would encourage you to do is for yourself, for somebody teaching a Bible study, for a pastor, for a women's group, I mean, get real with the Bible. Get the volumes, get these volumes, and use them as a Bible study. They're fast-moving books, and they contain an enormous amount of biblical truth. Get yourself a copy of A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Volume 2 says 2016-2017, but it's up to the second, up to date. Get yourself a copy of Mass Awakening, Conquering the Matrix, and The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. And read it, and then lend it to people. But make sure, so you just don't give it to them, make sure they read it as best you can, obviously. And then get it back from them as a kind of a accountability thing so you can give it to somebody else. You know, books change lives. Especially when you pray before you give them out and you ask the Lord to lead you to give the books or the book to the right person. That is the ultimate, because then you're not just hoping for the best. You're using the book as like a tract and you're praying over. You're asking the Lord to show you who to give it to. And that's when God's miracles really work in a big way. That's when people get saved. So you and I have the power to do that. So visit paulmcguire.us. Help us by being an intercessory prayer warrior for this ministry. Pray for me, my family, and this ministry as we pray for you. Submit these articles and videos, do an end run around the big tech sites. We were, I don't know, 30 videos were taken down the other day. We stopped the hemorrhage, but we were attacked because what we had was true. It was spoken in love, but the Big Brother social media doesn't want you to tell the truth. So we were pulled down, as were millions of other people the other day. Now, we have Brighteon.com as a backup channel, but you have to know what those backup channels are, because we're in for a wild ride this year, next year, and the year after that, and following that. And Christians are going to be persecuted. There's going to be an attempt to silence the voice of Christians. And we need to recognize that, and we need to be proactive regarding that. So help us spread these messages far and wide. And then finally, we want to expand. So we need to expand our studios, production facilities, outreach technology. We want to build alternative platforms immediately, as well as documentaries and other technological ways of reaching people in the United States, young people, and around the world. We want to bring in this last day's soul harvest, and I'm very serious about it. We want to ignite a biblical last day's revival and make disciples of all nations. And we can do that by competing for the hearts and minds of mankind, not just being passive about it. So I'm asking you to seek the Lord and join us. Be function as one with us and in unity with us as we seek to win souls for Christ above all things. And you can make your financial donations and contributions either in the mail or electronically by going to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Simply ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? How much do you want me to give? And the Lord may speak to you right then and there. Sometimes the Lord, like the Lord speaks to me in the middle of the night or sometimes hours later. And the Lord will say, I want you to do that. Or the Lord will say, I want you to give financially to that. The Lord will often direct me. I'll pray, and it might be 24 hours or 8 hours, and suddenly out of the middle of nowhere, the Lord will answer. But then I obey him. There's no point in asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do, if you're not going to obey him? And so whatever the Lord tells you to do, simply make the agreement with the Lord that, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do, no matter how large a gift you tell me to give, or if you just want me to faithfully continue to give what I've been giving, then be released and blessed in that. Because when lots of people are faithful in regular giving, that all adds up. But then we need people occasionally who've been blessed who can give a large amount, because we're in competition. If I could describe an average day in this ministry of planning, operating, finding ways to undo where we've been censored and attacked. Not just me, there's a lot of other people too. They may not be talking about it, I'm talking about it. And what are they censoring? The preaching of the gospel. Preaching of the gospel and stuff like that. So we have to be faithful. And we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But we have an opportunity. This order out of chaos formula is an occult formula that began in Mystery Babylon. It's also the occult motto, if you will, for the Freemasons. It is order out of chaos, or manufactured crisis, or don't let a good crisis go to waste. That's how they've been running the world since ancient Babylon. They create a crisis, then they solve it. Problem, reaction, solution. It's very simple. Hegelian dialectic, where the Hegelian dialectic works like this. You present before the people two opposite realities. So on one hand, you have capitalism over on the right, and on the other hand, you have communism on the left. So you got capitalism on the right, communism on the left, and in the middle, you have democratic socialism. So what you do is you create crisis, you manipulate current events and economic events and geopolitical events. The globalist elite and change agents manipulate the global events, etc. And they play the game of opposites against the masses. So they talk a lot about capitalism. And then on the other side, they'll talk a lot about communism. But they have already decided that their prearranged, predetermined outcome is neither capitalism or communism. Their predetermined, pre-planned outcome is democratic socialism, which will land right in the middle of the yardsticks, so to speak. So on the far left of the yardstick, you have communism. On the far right, you have capitalism. But in the very center of the yardstick, which is where you want to move the people without them knowing it, is you have democratic socialism. So in the Hegelian dialectic, these extremes are listed in the following way. So reality or whatever is this big yardstick. On the far left, you have what's called antithesis or communism. So communism is antithesis. On the far right, you have capitalism, which is thesis. So you have thesis, which is capitalism, antithesis, which is communism. And in the middle, you have democratic socialism, which is known as synthesis. The prearranged, predetermined goal of the Hegelian dialectic, which is used in universities and economics and media, the predetermined goal of the Hegelian dialectic is to use social change agents, radical transformation, chaos and confusion, to move people from the extremes. So to move people from, on the left, you have communism or antithesis. On the right, you have capitalism or thesis. And the goal is to move thesis and antithesis into synthesis, which is democratic socialism. Democratic socialism is a deliberate blend or adding on of mixing communism with capitalism together. So they pretend this goal. They frighten the people and say, you know, you'll suffer under extreme capitalism. You'll suffer under extreme communism. So why don't you compromise? And they say this in the media all day long, and go with democratic socialism, which, of course, is an illusion because it doesn't exist. So most people in America are for socialism, but they're for an imaginary Disneyland socialism, which is called democratic socialism. Because democratic socialism is verbiage that's designed to undo all the negativity associated with real-life historical examples of socialism. To be blunt, socialism is a nightmare. People starve in socialism. People have no freedoms in socialism. Socialism is lousy. People are unemployed and poor. There's no social justice in socialism. So because socialism has got such a lousy rap, they've changed it, rebranded it to democratic socialism. And so their goal is to brainwash the capitalists, the communists, to come together into democratic socialism. And this is called the Hegelian dialectic. And that's why you see mass chaos, continual. It's a continual and endless stream, historically and geopolitically, of mass chaos or order out of chaos or new world order out of chaos. And that's what you and I are living in a live stream download of a manufactured crisis this time. And they keep switching manufactured crises. It's an endless, it's like they're made in a factory and they're on a conveyor belt. So you have crisis events like 9/11, coronavirus, earthquakes, tsunamis, you know, all kinds of school shootings, all this chaos. Now coronavirus threatens to completely rewrite, resculpt the nature of reality like never before. So everybody's freaking out because they think the reality that they've come to like or know to whatever degree is in jeopardy of disintegrating into nothingness, okay? That's where people are. So people are freaking out because of fear. Fear-based, they're using their imaginations to create hypothetical or artificial scenarios or projections about the future, which may be completely fictitious, but they're using their fear-based imaginations to create very terrifying pictures of potential futures they may live in, which is causing them to be freaked out, to have insomnia, to be addicted, to have all kinds of social tensions and, you know, weird psychological responses and stuff, depression, anxiety, all kinds of stuff, is occurring. And we need to be compassionate about that, because that is what the media has been projecting into the subconscious minds of people day, noon, and night. Okay, so this is all about. This is like social engineering 101, or hypnotic programming 101, or mass media programming 101, or mass hysteria 101, or mass brainwashing 101. They're all similar sciences. And this is what you have to understand, that there are powerful people, you know, we can call them all kinds of names, but for lack of better words, let's just say the globalist elite, that own big tech and they own the mainstream media. There are a number of classic mind control, brainwashing, programming formulas known throughout history. One of the most common is what's called pain, drugs, hypnosis, or pain, shock, or trauma, and hypnosis and drugs. All right. The MK Ultra mind control program was pain, drugs, hypnosis. So severe psychological, physical pain. Drugs, LSD, the most powerful mind-altering drug known to mankind, and hypnosis to program people. So when people are exposed to massive trauma, shock, which equates to pain, endlessly through mass media images which shock and frighten and disturb and rock the boat on your old normal, that's a threat to the core psychological system of every person. But what people are frightened of is all this usage by the so-called experts about how we're going to create a new normal. Most people don't want anything to do with a new normal. A new normal sounds like Adolf Hitler's concentration camp. I'm not interested in a new normal. Okay, this new normal stuff, that's mind control words. So they're exploiting the crisis, and they're using it to create a soft totalitarian reality. So everything is allowable because it's a potential cure for the coronavirus. So we can spy on you from satellites and check out your cell phone and know every physical, social, business interaction that you've had with anybody. Wherever you've been, wherever you stop, or whoever you talk to, we have total cell phone technology surveillance of every place you've been in your path on life. Whether you, when you got gas, you stopped in and got a big gulp, soda, or coffee. Did you talk to the person in the gas station? It's all allowable because they're tracing your biological footprint to see if you were exposed to the coronavirus. But this also means that you can be observed from satellite, you know, whether you're standing next to somebody, whether you're in a group, whether you're alone. It opens the door wide open for the next generations of super surveillance to be used, all in the name of the coronavirus. So now, as fighting the coronavirus as the pretense, your cell phone can go to a supercomputer and tell them if you have a fever or temperature. Some cell phones claim to have apps that diagnose the coronavirus or read other symptoms of the coronavirus. There are all kinds of apps on your cell phone now that can read your mental state, and they can transmit to somebody, whether you're experiencing anxiety, depression, bipolar symptoms, panic attacks, PTSD, or whatever. You see, you have no privacy. You're in total surveillance. And total surveillance is the signature of a big brother dictatorial state. So you want to know where all this is going? Well, we have to observe two basic facts. God warned men and women never, ever to create a Tower of Babel or an ancient Babylon where the world is one, with one world religion, one world economic system, one world government. God said never do that again, so he destroyed it. Now, as predicted in the book of Revelation, this one world government, one world religion, one world economic system, otherwise known as the New World Order, is rising up right before our very eyes, despite God's warning. So mankind, in mankind's sinfulness, is unifying and becoming one through like hyperspeed, bring about this ultimate New World Order, which might be, it might be called the United Nations Agenda 2030, okay? Or they may have some other name for it. And the whole thing is to create this new Babylonian world order. And the key to it is scientific mind control, also known as sorcery or magic. But the key to it is also, technology. Artificial intelligence, transhumanism, technology, mass surveillance technology, mind control technology. That is the slave master technology, the puppet master technology. And God wants to give you the power to overcome it and not be trapped by it. And we're going to show you how that can be done. But, you know, knowledge and wisdom and guidance comes from being willing to read books, to self-educate, to study the Bible, to read the books that I've written that explain things for you, to study your Bible on a deeper level, to read other excellent books. That's how you acquire wisdom. You got to pay a price. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. This is Paul McGuire. I can't tell you what a supernatural burden from the Holy Spirit I feel. It never leaves me. It's always on me 24/7. This burden to present truth to people in such a way that they'll be set free from spiritual blindness. And they'll be able to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That consumes me, along with igniting a biblical third great awakening, along with making disciples of all nations, and along with teaching God's people how they can occupy the land until he comes. Because we have an incredible mission, an incredible destiny, each one of us do. We've been called by God for this hour. So this is the critical thing. We are in, and this is why, with the risk of being endlessly redundant, but I'm just going to have to take the risk. The reason I gave my latest book this ridiculously long title was because I had manuscripts all over stacked in this studio right here where I'm broadcasting from. And it represented about 4,000 pages of research. And then hand-scratched as a potential title, I had written The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. And I was looking down while I was broadcasting like I am now, and I said, that title's too long for a book. I said, but I cannot think of a title which more clearly expresses the passion, the energy, the burden I feel about this. So despite the fact that it may not be the ideal title in terms of length, It is the ideal title in terms of expressing the burden that God has put on my heart. So the name of the book is The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. That's where we are right now. That's where we are. Jesus said, occupy until I come. So there's a battle for the minds, the consciousness of people. The vast majority of people now are being programmed at such young ages. I don't care whatever age you are. The programming is starting younger. Yes, they started to program you. They started to program me in colleges, universities, school systems. But they waited. They had some restraint. Now they begin the programming process at the youngest of ages. And I was reading from a Marxist professor who was very brilliant, and she a book, and she made the point that the whole purpose of modern education was to, this is what was from a communist professor, was to dumb down the students so that they would be happy and compliant factory workers. They would be happy and compliant to have low-paying jobs where they couldn't make much money and their talents weren't used. That the entire educational system was designed to program them and dumb them down to be more suitable for jobs that required you to be dumbed down. So this has been going on for 70 years in America. There's a reason why your average person, even in their 50s and 60s or whatever, 40s, your average person cannot, does not have the ability to just automatically critically think and use logic. See, you'll see news stories which reveal that they're lies by the very way that they're covered. But most people don't have the intellectual firepower to recognize that the news story is an absurdity and it couldn't possibly be true because their intellects have been dialed down with genetically modified food organisms and Wi-Fi signals and the entire psychological learning psychology, behavioral psychology that is induced in the typical academic environment, beginning with preschool and going all the way up to PhD level, is one not of education. It's one of endless indoctrination and dumbing down and programming. The problem is that this dumbing down of students and the programming of students and the indoctrination of students and the hypnotic programming of students is so sophisticated that it flows right out of the professor, the teacher, the books, the textbooks, the curriculum, the schools, and it just flows uninterrupted into the students in any profession, lawyers or doctors or politicians or scientists. They just suck up like a sponge all the programming and indoctrination. And the tragedy is pastors, Bible teachers, seminary professors, Christians who are being educated in so-called seminaries and universities are also being indoctrinated by this virulent form of humanistic philosophy. So the game changer is recognizing that if we simply try to go toe-to-toe and battle these people on mere intellectualism, mere scientific debate or whatever, all of that's important in terms of our presentation, and all of that is important in terms of establishing our credibility. Okay? So it's important to study those things because nobody's going to take you seriously if they don't think you know what you're talking about in terms of background and depth. But on top of that, not apart from that, but on top of that, you must walk cultivate under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You must carry the charge of the Holy Spirit, which is just a fancy way of saying you must walk around being filled with the Holy Spirit, overflowing with the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest its gifts in you, the fruits of the Holy Spirit being manifested in you, and the power of the Holy Spirit moving through you. And by using and walking in that supernatural authority and interacting with people under an anointing where you're not waving a flag to everybody and say, hello, I'm anointed, look at me, I'm just this, you know, super spiritual guy or girl and I'm really anointed. No, you're not bringing attention to yourself. You're walking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And as he leads your mind about what to say, as he leads your mind about who to say it to and how to present yourself and when to advance and when to retreat, when the Holy Spirit and his supernatural wisdom begins to formulate ideas and plans in you, you begin to operate in that. And then you ask the Lord for wisdom and guidance, and the Lord can use you to bring back into vibrant reality the dream and the dreams that fear and the spirit of fear have stolen from the American public, working class, middle class, people from other nations whose dream has been stolen because of the coronavirus, et cetera, et cetera. These dreams which have been stolen by the coronavirus and the spirit of fear that travels with the coronavirus must be defeated by the believer strategically and privately as an intercessory prayer warrior, but also through vocal, intelligent, and creative vocal communication, where you dismantle strongholds using polite conversation and humor, but it's charged with the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so people's vision of the future is shattered. They see some kind of apocalyptic vision of the near future. They're freaked out. If we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and this should be in every church, it says this, and this is very important. In Acts chapter 2, when they're meeting in the day of Pentecost in one accord, and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? Then they're being anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit to minister to people all over the world to fulfill the Great Commission. So Peter quotes the prophet Joel where it says in verse 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Okay, so the important thing to understand here is that the dream of reality and hope and a future worth living has been assaulted by the demonic powers behind the coronavirus. But if we, as the church, as intercessors standing in the gap, will receive the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit on us in the last days, then our sons and our daughters shall prophesy. That means they will be able to speak things that transcend the temporary crisis. And then it spells it out. As the Holy Spirit is poured out, your young men shall see visions. Well, what kind of visions? Restorative healing visions of the future, not nightmares of a future created by Satan, but hope and dreams and positive images created by God, the Creator with a capital C, concerning hope for the future. Your young men shall see visions of this. Your old men shall dream dreams of this. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So instead of the strongholds in the invisible realm, locking people in a prison cage, a stronghold of a nightmarish future, you know, with absurd images of social distancing and grotesque social interactions, that will not continue permanently. You really need to understand this. The virus is real. It's biological. It's real. Okay? But the psychological trauma, the fear, the stealing from the future is not real. It's panic-based, fear-based, collective illusion being amplified and reinforced in mass culture, like I write about in my book, Mass Awakening, through scientific mind control and programming. You keep repeating over and over again these horrific images of the future, and people think that's going to be their future, and that's a lie. And the body of Christ, it's the body of Christ, the supernatural body of Christ, whom God has given the power to give a fresh vision to humanity and hope to humanity, even in the middle of the last days, where we can say, no, this isn't the end at this moment for mankind. That God can give us the power to recreate our nation. You know, it doesn't have to go, America doesn't have to go down, and the other nations don't have to go down like some kind of plague movie released from Hollywood. That's a bunch of phooey. And you and I just collectively need to agree that it is a bunch of phooey. We don't ignore science. We don't ignore nutrition. We don't ignore infections and things like that. But we also understand that God has given us the power to recreate reality to a large degree. We don't have to allow this economy to fall apart. See, very rich and powerful people do want the economy to fall apart, because that's how they expand their power. You and I have to understand the signs of the times, and we have to overcome the enemy's sinister plans. So visit paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us, and yes, we need people to stand in the gap and be intercessory prayer warriors for us. We need you to send these messages far and wide. We need you to seek the Lord about how much you can give and contribute financially, as we expand our outreach and make it more effective. We're not laying down. We're not giving up. We're not retreating. Not at all. We're accelerating. We're increasing. If your mindset regarding the coronavirus is laying low, retreat, hiding, I feel sorry for you, because you're following the herd instinct. And you're not listening to God. God has a vision and a plan for you. Listen to God. Don't just absorb what the herd is saying. God bless you, your brother in Christ, Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.